I wanna get locked up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my on the only podcast that I'll hear. Rip off my ears. Oh, the rock show, 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 the rock show. Oh, I want the rock show.
Welcome, everybody, to The Rock Show. This is episode 194. I'm Rocker Mike. We got Rob Rossi with us, as usual. How you doing, Rob?
Pretty good today. February.
I'm doing good. We're in February now, and it is Black History Month. As usual, every year, we always pick a couple of artists that are important from the African-American community, which is invaluable when it becomes a discussion on rock music. Of course, it all comes from Black Rhythm and Blues. And we're going to talk about somebody today you all heard of. And he's a legend. Okay. He's been around for over 60 years in the music business and influenced everybody from the Stones to the Beatles, anybody making pop music when in the 60s. Without any further ado, I'll have to say we're doing this show today on Mr. Smokey Robinson.
You know what I really think about Smokey when it comes down to history? You know, I think he was really like the real reason why Motown went off, why Motown got so popular. Everybody think it was Berry Gordy. He did a lot, but forget about it. When it comes to Smokey Mountain, that guy, Smokey Robinson, that guy was like writing music, lyrics. He was doing stuff before anybody else could even think of the way he's writing, creative. And another guy that gets a little shout out, Marvin Gaye's another one that was in there. I think those two guys working each other. Imagine that back room. You got Berry Gordy, Robinson, and freaking Marvin. That's like, holy, that's like all-star team.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a big fan of Motown, pretty much everything that came out of that label. You know, Smokey wrote for people. It wasn't just Smokey Robinson or Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. He wrote for others. He helped get Motown off the ground. And actually, you mentioned Berry Gordy. We're going to talk about Berry Gordy and Motown in the next rock show for Black History Month and get into more detail about that. But today is all Smokey. And I think it's going to be very interesting to people. Maybe you'll learn a little something today about the man. He's very talented.
You know, Smokey Robinson is still alive, and he's 83 years old.
Still performs occasionally.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I have not seen him, though I know people who have. My good friend Lala Brooks from the Crystals has seen him, met him many times, and, you know, has nothing but nice things to say about the guy. He's a class act, you know, and I think he's one of these people I have on my bucket list that I'd like to see someday. So if he does come around, I'd like to check him out. But, you know, long career. He basically comes from the North End area of Detroit, Michigan. Okay, let me just back up here for 1 second.
Another Detroit. A lot of stuff came out of Detroit, man.
Absolutely. And Motown was based in Detroit. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Was Motown like the more for the African American music than Nashville? What's the country?
Not exactly. Okay. Yes, obviously it was all black artists, but what yes. Berry Gordy, what, and we're going to talk about this more in the next episode, but
yes.
What Berry Gordy was looking to do was basically make black music accessible to white audiences. He knew that's yes. where the money was. And, yes. you know, this was at a time, you know, and Smokey's in this too. You know, the stars were lining up perfectly for these artists. It was a time where racial barriers were breaking down. You know, if you went back just to the early part of the 50s, they couldn't have had Motown that early. Okay.
Yeah.
Black music was still considered race music. I hate that term, but that's what they called it. You know, Alan Freed, the DJ, would break barriers with his show, playing that kind of music for white audiences that loved it. I mean, even before him, there were white people interested in this music, but it really was not a big deal. Okay, it was very underground, and Alan Freed helped do that. But then again, he had a midnight show. I mean, a lot of people listened, but it wasn't quite mainstream. It would take, you know, some changes in people's mentalities. Elvis came along in 55. The whole rock and roll scene, when Smokey started, and I'll get into all that in a minute, you know, the world was changing, and they were more welcoming to this kind of music, which had already really existed already. But anyway, he was born February 19th, 1940. He's 83 right now, about to be 84 this month. Okay, and like I said, he was born in the North End area of Detroit, Michigan. He is, his father is an African-American. His mother, however, is of African-American and French background. Okay.
Yes.
Which a lot of people in Detroit are. They have that French-Canadian background. He also has some Nigerian, Scandinavian, Portuguese, and Cherokee in his background, too. So he's very mixed. He got the name from his favorite uncle. Okay. His uncle Claude nicknamed him Smokey. Okay. His real name was William Robinson Jr. He was named Smokey by his uncle because he liked cowboy movies, Westerns, which were very popular at that time. And, you know, he wanted to have kind of a cowboy name. So he was nicknamed Smokey. I think he got that nickname when he was very young, like 3 years old. Okay.
Wow.
It actually was the name Smokey Joe. That's what they called him. Smokey Joe.
Yeah.
Right. He was an average student, academically. He also was athletic. But his main interest really was music from a young age. He formed a doo-wop group called the Five Chimes. He actually knew Aretha Franklin when she was young. They lived right near each other. Okay. And I think from about 5 years old, he knew Aretha Franklin, and he would hear her playing the piano and stuff like that. They grew up in the same area. One early influence on him was a group called Nolan Strong and the Diablos, and also Billy Ward and his Dominoes. These were two bands that, you know, vocal groups that he was very influenced by growing up. In 1955, he started the Five Chimes with his childhood friend Ronald White and classmate Pete Moore. 2 years later, they would rename that group the Matadors and include another member named Bobby Rogers. Other members included Emerson, Sonny Rogers, Bobby Rogers' cousin, and was replaced by his sister Claudette Rogers. Claudette would eventually marry Smokey Robinson later in 1959. They would have a rather tumultuous relationship.
So, Mike, will you consider him some kind of prodigy? Because he started at 15 pretty much already in groups singing.
Yeah, I mean, look, anybody that's doing that at 15 is extremely talented. And he had a beautiful voice. Still does.
He did have a great voice.
Nothing smoother than Smokey, you know? This band, the Matadors, after touring Detroit venues, would change their name again, and they would become the Miracles. Okay, so you had Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. In 57, August of that year, Robinson and the Miracles met songwriter Berry Gordy. And that was after a failed attempt to get signed to Brunswick Records, which was a very popular label. At that time during the audition, Robinson had brought along with him a Big Ten notebook with 100 songs he wrote while in high school. That's a lot of songs for somebody his age. Now, Gordy was impressed.
Think about that, 110, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Gordon was impressed right away, and he loved Smokey's vocals. And he even was more interested in his songwriting ability, not just the singing. So with his help, the Miracles released their first single, Got a Job, which was kind of like an answer to the Silhouettes song, Get a Job.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of like a sequel to that. And it was the beginning of a very long and successful collaboration between him and Berry Gordy. Now, during this time, Robinson attended college briefly, started classes in January 59. He was studying electrical engineering, but he dropped out after 2 months because the Miracles single did very well. Okay. Now, Gordy would form Tamla Records, T-A-M-L-A, Tamla Records,
yeah,
which was later reincorporated as Motown. Okay. It would be shortly after it would change to that. The Miracles became one of the first acts that he signed, and although they had actually been with Gordy since before the formation of Motown, he continued them once it became Motown. So in late 1960, the group recorded their first hit single, Shop Around. Okay, Got a Job did good, Shop Around did even better, and it would become Motown.
Yeah, that was a very catchy song.
Oh, yeah.
Around, oh, yeah. Like the Miracles did a lot of songs that they were like more like jingles, because you would hear them and you couldn't stop singing them. Like any song you hear from the Miracles, something very catchy.
Very catchy, whether it's a ballad or an upbeat tempo song.
Yes,
you know, and it was Motown's first million dollar record. Okay,
insane.
Yeah, Shop Around. So between 1960 and 1970, just to put it in context, Smokey Robinson would produce 26 top 40 hits with the Miracles as lead singer, chief songwriter, and the producer. Okay. He had several top 10 hits, such as You Really Got a Hold on Me, which was covered by the Beatles.
Another great song.
Mickey's Monkey, I Second That Emotion, Baby, Baby, Don't Cry. And the group only had, despite the hits, they only had one number one. Do you know what it was? In that time?
Tears of a Clown.
The Tears of a Clown.
That's another great song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
But you know what, Mike? You're throwing out all these songs, and I'm surprised that was the only number one hit. All these songs sound that they could have been number one hit. So that's amazing.
You know, if you look at the 1960s, and this was a 10-year period through the whole decade, yes, like that he was involved with Motown having these hits as the Miracles. Okay. Look at the competition. Okay.
Oh, there was competition by everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he could, you know, a lot of vocal groups just didn't make it through the British invasion.
Yeah, that's right.
The girl groups fell apart. They couldn't get a gig. Okay. By 64, 65. So Motown being the powerhouse that it was, through other acts, Supremes and eventually the Temptations and other people, they were able to rise above all that British invasion stuff. It was kind of like a, you know, an alternative scene.
Yeah.
You know, that was doing million-dollar sales.
But they probably might have not hit number one all the time, but they definitely were always in the top 10 or at least always. The top 20.
Always, always. And if it wasn't his song, if it wasn't him performing it, a lot of times it was a Smokey written song by somebody else.
Yeah, that's the thing that's amazing. It was other people.
I mean, it's really just like when you look at it, it's mind blowing. Okay, so some other hits he had at that time: "Ooh, Baby, Baby," that ballad, "Going to a Go-Go." The Stones would do a good version of that.
Yeah,
"Tracks of My Tears." The Love I Saw in You was Just a Mirage, one called More Love. In 1965, the Miracles were the first Motown group to change their name when they released their 1965 album, Going to a Go-Go. They changed it to Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. So they put Smokey in the forefront right there, which was a good idea because he really was the talent there. Not that they weren't talented, but he really was the songwriter principally and for other people. So they put him in front. He was getting known for what he was doing with other bands. So
do you think there was any problem with him also being the writer and producer on some of these stuff?
I don't think so. I mean, look, all bands go through times where they have problems. Yeah. The Miracles wouldn't last forever. He would eventually break off and go solo. But at that time, I think they were riding the wave, you know, whatever problems they had, it didn't affect them that much. Now, between 62 and 66, Robinson was also one of the major songwriters and producers for Motown, penning many hit singles such as Two Lovers, The One Who Really Loves You, You Beat Me to the Punch, and he wrote My Guy, all those for Mary Wells.
Okay.
Now, The Way You Do the Things You Do, My Girl, Since I Lost My Baby, and Get Ready. Okay, he wrote all those songs for the Temptations. He wrote My Girl.
Yeah.
Okay, which I don't care who you are.
But he wrote My Girl. He also wrote My Guy.
it's true. Yeah, he wrote both. Yeah. Okay. He wrote Still Water for the Four Tops. He wrote When I'm Gone and Operator for Brenda Holloway. He wrote Don't Mess with Bill. The Hunter Gets Captured by the Game. And My Baby Must Be a Magician for the Marvelettes. He wrote I'll Be Doggone and Ain't That Peculiar for Marvin Gaye. You mentioned Marvin Gaye before, who was another fantastic Motown act.
Think about this crazy stack. He had only 26 top 40 hit with the Miracles. And then you give me all this with that thing. He probably had like a few hundred top 40 hits.
He was Motown. He was Motown. As much as Berry Gordy at that time, okay?
Yes.
So they would get other writers, okay, particularly Holland, Dozier, and Holland, and also the team of Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong. We talked about all those guys in the Temptation show that we did a while back. God, I think that was about 3 years ago now we did that show.
Okay. And, Mike, what was the name of the house band for Motown? They had
the
house band.
The Funk Brothers.
What?
Funk Brothers.
The Funk Brothers, yes.
Yes. All that music that you hear in Motown, particularly the Temptations and the Supremes, and Smokey, was the Funk Brothers, okay, which was this incredible band. I think there's a documentary about them out there somewhere, if you have a chance to see it. We really kind of go uncredited, but they are the sound of Motown.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, after these guys showed up, Holland, Dozier and Holland, Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong. Robinson kind of started to get eclipsed a little bit, okay, as the top writer and producer. And other Motown artists such as Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder began to write their own songs and produce themselves. So later in his career, Robinson wrote lyrics and music for the Contours, okay, the song First I Look at the Purse, which has been covered by, Jay Giles' band, a band called Nashville Pussy that I love. They did a good version of that. Okay. He wrote for the Supremes. He wrote more for the Four Tops. Now, the other Miracles, which was Bobby Rogers, Pete Moore, Ronnie White, and Marv Tarplin, collaborated with him as writers on some of these hits, okay? And Pete Moore also doubled as a co-producer with Robinson on several of them. By 69, Robinson wanted to retire from touring to focus on raising his two children that he had with his wife, Claudette, okay? And on his duties as Motown's vice president, a job he had taken on by the mid-1960s after Esther Gordy Edwards had left the position. However, the success of the group's Tears of a Clown made Robinson stay with the group until 1972. His last performance with the Miracles would be in July of 72 in Washington, D.C. So that's the story of Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, but doesn't it? Okay. He would continue on with a solo career.
So, Mike, what do you think? After all those years, they probably did everything they could do as a group. So you think it was time for him to go solo at that time?
I guess probably it's what you were mentioning before. There could have been some things going on with power struggles and that. He wasn't the main guy anymore at that point at Motown. It was kind of like a combination of different people. Hey, you know, I mean, he probably felt I could just break off and do my own thing and just worry about me.
Yeah, but he did, for a guy like that, he did a lot of work for that label. So there's no way that anybody can complain, because he pretty much was the label, even more than Berry Gordy. You know, Berry Gordy was the figurehead. Without Smokey Robinson, I don't think there would have been a Motown.
No, there would not have been. He got it off the ground. And we're going to talk about that a lot, I think, in the next show, because we're going to delve deep into what made Motown tick. Now, after only 1 year of retirement, from 72 to 73, he announced his comeback with the release of the self-titled Smokey album that came out in 1973. The album included the Miracles tribute song Sweet Harmony and the hit ballad Baby Come Close. In 74, Robinson's second album, Pure Smokey, was released but failed to produce any hits. That was his first, I guess you could say, bomb.
Okay. Like flop.
Yeah. Now, Robinson struggled to compete with his former collaborators, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder. Okay. Also, former Temptations member Eddie Kendricks had a couple of hits at that time. Okay. So he was kind of competing with some of his Motown, former Motown label mates. Now, former Beatle George Harrison featured the track Pure Smokey on his 1976 album 33 and a Third as a tribute to him. Harrison's fellow Beatles, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, were also big fans of Robinson's songwriting, and the group covered You Really Got a Hold on Me on the second UK album with the Beatles, and that was on the Beatles' second album, it was called, in the United States. So Robinson answered his critics the following year with A Quiet Storm. That was the name of the album. Released in 1975, the album launched three singles: the number one R&B hit, Baby That's Back At You, a song called The Agony and the Ecstasy, and Quiet Storm. The radio format of Quiet Storm, originated by DJ Melvin Lindsay, is named after that album. Okay. However, Robinson's solo career suffered from his work as Motown's vice president, and his own music took the back seat. As a result, several albums, including Smokey's Family Robinson, Deep in My Soul, Love Breeze, and Smokin', saw poor production and promotion and received bad reviews. At this point, Robinson was relying on other writers and producers to help him with his albums. Wasn't a good time for Smokey.
Okay. Yeah, but I think because he was so overwhelmed doing so much stuff that he was probably putting these songs together, but they were getting written by somebody else. So he probably just was, you know, he wanted to stay in the spotlight. So he was just putting out songs and songs and songs, but not really thinking about what he was doing.
And he was also experiencing some very bad writer's block. He just couldn't come up with any ideas for a little while there. And basically,
Mike, think about it. At this point, he's almost doing this for 20 years. How much?
Yeah, you're doing this for like almost 20 years already at this point.
Yeah.
So he would team up with fellow Miracle, Marv Taplin, who joined him on the road in 1973 after Robinson had left the Miracles, and presented him a tune that he had composed on his guitar. Robinson later wrote the lyrics that became his first solo top 10 hit, and that was called Cruisin'.
That's a great song. Yeah,
Cruisin' on a Sunny Afternoon, right?
Yeah, and great song.
Yeah, the song hit number one on Cashbox and peaked at number four on Billboard's Hot 100. It also became his first solo number one in New Zealand. What is it about New Zealand? They love them, right? They love American music.
It's either New Zealand or Australia.
Even like us.
Yeah, and then it comes around to even Japan and freaking New England.
I know. I mean, now he would follow up that single with a successful album called Warm Thoughts, which produced another top 40 hit called Let Me Be the Clock, though it did not go as high as Cruisin'. It did well. We're into the 1980s now, and Robinson in 1981 topped the charts again with another ballad, this one called Being With You. And that was number one on Cashbox, peaked at number two on the Hot 100 Billboard chart. It also hit number one in the UK singles chart, becoming his most successful single to date. So the Gold Plus Parent album sparked a partnership with George Tobin. And with Tobin, Robinson released his next several Motown records, one called Yes, It's You, Lady, which produced the hit Tell Me Tomorrow, album called Touch the Sky, and also SR. In 1983, Robinson teamed up with fellow Motown label Rick James, recording the R&B ballad Ebony Eyes. Remember that song?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever made this connection, but in the 80s, there was a porn star named Ebony Eyes.
She probably named herself after the song.
From the song, yep.
Yeah.
I'm sure Smokey's well aware of that.
So over here, he's kind of getting back to the top, doing hits again. Probably a little confident. You know, he got his little groove back. So at this point, he's doing pretty good, you must say, right?
Yeah, the 80s was a little bit of a resurgence, people interested in his music again. So 1987 would come along.
But Mike, let's talk about how much drug you think him and Rick James did.
Smokey has this impeccable reputation. I don't want to destroy it, but I think if you're in the same room with Rick James, you could be a priest and still end up doing something.
He probably would. Come here, bitch. Try Rick James cocaine, baby.
James did so much cocaine, you just got a contact high standing next to him. It's a hell of a drug. Hell of a drug.
Yeah, come on, Smokey Robinson. Hit this shit.
That's funny. I would not want to think he's doing that, but who knows, okay? In 1987, following a period of personal and professional issues, Robinson made a comeback with the album One Heartbeat and the singles Just to See Her and the song One Heartbeat. Both were top 10 hits on Billboard's pop, soul, and adult contemporary charts. They were aided by popular music videos for Just to See Her, that actually won Smokey Robinson his first Grammy in 1988 for that song.
Wow.
The album became one of his most successful ever. Over 900,000 copies in the United States sold alone. In the same year, Robinson released One Heartbeat in the UK. And also there was a UK group called ABC. I don't know if you remember that song, When Smokey Sings.
Yeah, with Smokey. Yeah, that was popular here.
That was popular. Yeah, MTV played the hell out of that video.
Oh, I remember that. That's where I saw MTV just rocking this thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they were a UK band called ABC. They had that other song, Shoot That Poison Arrow Through My Heart. Remember that?
Yeah.
I gotta stop singing. I'm sure I'm making everybody turn the show off. So what would happen in 1988 is MCA would buy Motown, okay? And Robinson relinquished his position as vice president. Following the release of the album Love Smokey in 1990, Robinson left Motown for a deal with SBK Records in 1991. However, the album Double Good Everything didn't even chart. Robinson remained virtually quiet through the 90s, though he would make a notable cameo appearance in the Temptations 1998 miniseries, okay, making a brief comeback in 1999 when he re-signed again to Motown, which was technically under MCA, and issued the album Intimate, which included the song Easy to Love, which was a minor hit. In 2003, he once again split ties with Motown, releasing a gospel album called Food for the Spirit on Liquid 8 Records in 2004. In 2004, Robinson sang the main title theme song, Colorful World, to the American children's animated series Todd World for Discovery Kids, TLC, and Mike Young Productions. 2 years later, Robinson released the Standards album, Timeless Love, in 2006 on Universal Records. He did like an album of just pop standards. In 2009, he issued the album Time Flies When You're Having Fun on his own label, which was called Robso Records. It reached number 59 on the Billboard album chart, his highest showing since One Heartbeat. He subsequently has released Now and Then in 2010, which peaked at number 131. Another album called Smokey and Friends was released in mid-August 2014. It was an album of duets, including tracks with Elton John, Linda Ronstadt, and James Taylor. It reached number 12 on Billboard. I remember when that came out.
Yeah, that was a big thing, that duet album.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas Every Day was Robinson's first post-Miracles Christmas album and was released on November 10th, 2017. In 2018, he appeared on an episode of CMT Crossroads alongside country singer Cam. In April 2017, Robinson visited Fremont Lopez Elementary School in Stockton, California, where he served as a designated arts mentor under Turnaround Arts. On July 31st, 2018, Robinson appeared as a special guest on the Fox Network show Beat Shazam as a special guest. I never heard of that show. Have you?
Yeah, I think, Jamie Foxx, I think, was the host of that show. It was something like they would play a song and you had to see if you could get it faster than Shazam.
Oh, you had to guess what song it was.
Yeah, it was.
I did see that show.
It was, I guess, this tune, but it was a different version.
Name that tune, yeah.
That's what it was. It was pretty much like that.
Okay. Now, in 2023, last year, Robinson announced that he would release his first album in almost a decade in April of 2023. The 9-track album was going to be called Gasms and will feature entirely new music. The first single from the album, called If We Don't Have Each Other, was already available on streaming service by January 2023. So check out his streaming stuff, okay? Things are out there, even 60 years since he's been making music. Couple of things about his personal life. He was married to fellow Miracles member Claudette Rogers. He married her in 1959. The couple had 2 children, a son named Berry Robinson, born 1968, named after Berry Gordy, and a daughter named Tamla Robinson, named after the Tamla label. Okay.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he was on. It's interesting, just to mention the word Tamla. One group that one particular person that was very influenced by Tamla that you might not realize was Shane McGowan.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He loved Tamla Motown music. Despite being that punk rock background and the Irish background, he loved soul music from the 60s on the Tamla label. Remember we were watching the documentary, what the hell was it called? Something Nuggets. What was it? About Shane.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. I forgot. It was an excellent documentary. I think it was on Prime, right?
Yeah, it was on. I think it was on Prime about Shane. It came out about 3 years ago. But there's a part in that documentary where he's brought into a room and he's like, play some Tamla Motown, man. He wants them to play Motown music on the radio or stereo, whatever it was. But he was very influenced by that stuff. So anyway, getting back to Smokey, according to him, he had affairs with multiple
Crack of Gold, a few rounds with Shane. I think that's what it was.
What was it called?
Crock of Gold.
That's it. I was thinking Nuggets of Gold.
With Shane.
Yes.
McGowan.
Right. Check that out. He does mention his love for Tamla Motown in that. Now, according to Smokey Robinson, he had multiple affairs during his marriage to Claudette. Among them was a year-long affair with Diana Ross.
Wow.
Okay. Now, according to Robinson, Diana Ross ended the affair after a year because she felt so uncomfortable because she was actually friends with Claudette. And Claudette still told Diana that he loved, Smokey admitted to Diana that he still loved Claudette. So she just put an end to that brief affair. Ross, has never commented on this publicly. This is just something that Smokey has revealed. Robinson also had a son named Trey, who was born in 1984 from another woman, not his wife. Okay. After Robinson admitted to fathering his son, he filed for legal separation and later divorce, and that was finalized in 1986. The Robinsons had also separated briefly in 1974, and during that separation, Robinson engaged in another affair that inspired the song The Agony and the Ecstasy, which was later featured on A Quiet Storm album. He would remarry in 2002 to Frances Gladney. They own a home in Pittsburgh. Okay, he's not a California guy. He lives in Pittsburgh. And they use it as a winery, the home, okay? One thing that he's always been interested in is he's a vegetarian. He's been that way since 1972. And he's a big practicer of transcendental meditation. Interesting.
What's that?
Transcendental meditation is when you meditate. You sit there and like that. You meditate. You know? Me, I drink a beer. I meditate like that.
Me too.
You know? He's got tons of awards. He has a Hollywood Walk of Fame star. He got his Grammy for Best Male R&B Vocal Performance in 1988. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's won two National Medal of Arts Awards, Soul Train Music Awards. He won the Heritage Award for Soul Train. He's in the Michigan Rock and Roll Legends Hall of Fame, the 138th Commencement Convocation in May 2006, yes. Howard University, the famous Black Historical College, gave him an honorary doctorate. He's won Kennedy Center Awards. In 2009, the Miracles themselves were finally honored as a group with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame as well.
And they also got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2012, because the way he first got inducted by himself, the Miracles had a big problem.
Yeah, I think he went in alone in that, right?
Yeah, he went in alone, and they were right, not happy.
Right, right. That was in 1987. They probably should have put it in as the group.
It's amazing that they didn't put them in until 2012.
Yeah. Well, he got in 1987 solo.
Yeah.
And then the band got in the Miracles in 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's... a little controversial right there.
So he's a double Hall of Famer.
There's only a few like that. There's only a couple that like that.
Did they go in as Smokey Robinson, the Miracle, or did they go in just as the Miracles?
I think it's the Miracles.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously he's mentioned in it, but he also received a Society of Singers Lifetime Achievement Award in 2011. He earned another honorary doctorate degree along with Linda Ronstadt from Berklee College. He won an award from the Library of Congress called the Gershwin Prize for Popular Songs in August of 2016. Also that same year, he was inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame in Detroit. 2019, he received the Golden Plate Award of the American Academy of Achievement. And that award was presented to him by Jimmy Page and Peter Gabriel. Very wow. Nice. Yeah. In 2023, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Robinson at number 23 on their list of the 200 greatest singers of all time. I think that's they got it right with that one. I'm not a Rolling Stone magazine fan, but you have to put him in there as definitely one of the best voices of rock music. You know, and this was a time, when rock and roll and pop was kind of intertwined. Okay, people might not really think he's rock and roll, but it was. It was an R&B centered form of it. And he influenced so many people that went on to big, big things. I mean, the Beatles were listening to Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, there were a lot of groups listening to Smokey Robinson because he was, like, he was such a great writer, and his lyrics were soft, and they were nice, and, you know, before
there was... Can you think of any black artist today that's at that caliber? I mean, I'm just wondering.
I think the last black artist in that caliber probably was Michael Jackson, believe it or not.
Or maybe Prince.
And Prince, but definitely, you know, there were definitely, even like if you could think of women like Janet Jackson.
Well, Prince, I think maybe even because he could play so many instruments was even more talented. But Prince also in the sense that he wrote for so many other people like Smokey did.
Yeah, Prince
had a lot of hits with other artists doing his music, you know.
The other group, Ashley and Simpson, I think, is that those guys didn't
They wrote for a lot of people. They were more known for who they wrote for than their actual music.
Yeah, because they actually were writing way before they started doing their music. And then
they went out on their own, right.
Then they went on their own.
Yeah.
But that's also like the, what was it, the Bee Gees? They got booed out of fucking the music business to then just go on to write for everybody else.
Yep.
Which I think that's funny that, you know, that they had that documentary on HBO, which was excellent.
Yes, it was. It was very good. I'm starting to listen to a lot of early Bee Gees stuff. I like the early the 60s stuff.
They had some really good shit.
They did. They had some just like they were Beatlesque in a way.
Yeah.
Okay, but not really ripoffs, but definitely Beatle inspired. Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff, like when you dig deep in it, you're like, wow, how was this not big in the United States? But it wasn't.
Yeah, so because you know you'll be there, then you hear the song, and you're like, who the fuck is this? And then you go. Holy fuck, it's the Bee Gees. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Okay, but Mike, so
let me plug you in. One of our artist shows, The Son of Sam, you were a special guest on the show of Son of Sam. Can you tell us a little bit like that, how we can find that show?
Sure. Well, you know, what we have kind of like shelved our Son of Sam Chronicles show, for anybody that's not aware. That was our most popular show, but we kind of feel it's a time to wrap things up. We're going to readdress things in time and do pop-up shows. But basically, as far as, you know, a continuing show, we're not doing it. But what's happened is, you know, several shows have contacted me about coming on and discussing the Son of Sam murders and our show and all that. And I think it's great. Shout out to Esoteric Atlanta and also to Aquarius Rising Africa. Okay, I was on that show. That show is based out of South Africa. And it's cool. You know, you got a lot of true crime buffs that are interested in this case. And we'll be talking about it. Maybe you'll come on too, Rob, at some point.
What I'm going to do mostly, I'll probably put a link to, I'm probably going to start putting a link to that show and all our new feeds up just to get some people going on it. But if you want to find the show, it'll be on our link on this podcast that you guys are watching. Another thing, I would love you guys to subscribe. We got 3,000 subscribers as of now. We want to reach 10,000 subscribers by the end of 2024. You guys got to help us out because, you know, we put a lot of energy and to produce and do these shows. Micah does a lot of research. He's like a encyclopedia of music. Which that's what somebody labeled him at International. So, you know, between Wikipedia and other and documentary and other research, that's the way he gets most of these stuff done together, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a fair amount of work, but it's a labor of love.
Yeah. And you know what? Shout out to those two shows. And it's Black History Month, and in 2 weeks, we got another. Who are we talking about in 2 weeks, Mike?
Barry Gordy, the founder of Motown.
But I think he's a very controversial figure with his affair with Diana Ross, and that stuff that went on.
Yep.
Because the guy was weird. The guy got infatuated by Diana Ross, but he was also kind of a scumbag. He stole a lot of the money of a lot of these artists.
That's what happened back then. You know, the Phil Spectors of the world and, you know, Berry Gordy's of the world. no comparison really between the two, but except for the fact that they didn't pay their artists all the time.
But you know what? Berry Gorey is also pitching a like he's very well received into today, even though he fucked so many, like half of his artists that were these hit singers that they die starving, which is insane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to get into all that. It's going to be a good show.
Yep. And people, remember to follow us. And if you want to find me, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and what the hell? Oh, and X, which used to be known as Twitter. And Rocko Mike, where can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook under Rocko Mike, Rocko Mike. And then on, also on Facebook, the Rock Show Podcast group page. Check that out. We're up to over 2,000 now, I think, members of that. Also, Instagram, RockerMike212. Twitter, RockerMike212. You can find me on Getter, Truth Social, MeWe, Clout Hub, all under Rocker Mike. So just Google Rocker Mike, you find me somewhere.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. And let's end the show with what we say all the time. We don't get drunk.
Get lumped up.